This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. I have a very special guest. Her name is Fran Hawthorne. She's going to be talking about her passion for making the world a better place, why authenticity is so important for a novelist, and her new novel, I Meant to Tell You. Welcome to the show, Fran. How are you doing today?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me to be here. And since I'm in New York, I'm hot. It's July, but other than that, I'm fine.
Oh, good. Well, I'm in Southern California, and I'm hot, but it's probably hotter in New York, huh? That happens sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't have earthquakes anyway, so.
That is true. So let's talk a little bit about how you came to be a novelist.
You know, it's when was I not a novelist is the answer. As long as I can remember, I not only have I wanted to be a novelist, I have been writing novels. I mean, I'm serious. In elementary school, you know, I would very carefully print the letters on my lined paper, and I illustrated the books in full books. I mean, one was about a family torn apart in the American Revolution. I'm really serious about this. And in junior high, I sent off a novel to a vanity publisher who wrote back saying, you know, dear, please contact us again when you're old enough to sign a contract.
Right.
Right. So then we can rip you off. Oh, so anyway, I always been me. No other kind of writing, novels. I never wrote poetry, you know. And I also sort of knew that you don't earn a living doing that. I don't know why I knew that, except probably because I didn't know anybody who had a career as a writer. So I figured I would be an English teacher like my mother to earn a living. And, Oh, it's a good thing I never did that. I would have been a terrible teacher. And then what happened was in college, I got sidetracked. A roommate said, well, if you like to write, you should write for the school newspaper. You know, and I was horrified. I don't do that. That's hack writing. But I did. California, the University of California at Berkeley. And I walked into, and I have to give a shout out to the Daily Californian, the student newspaper. And they gave me an assignment, and I absolutely loved it. And they liked my work, and they put me on staff. And there I was for the next couple of decades, you know, as a journalist, and then writing nonfiction books. And I loved it. It wasn't the real me, the authentic me. It wasn't the kind of writing I had always known I wanted to do. It was writing. And as a friend of mine said, who was also a journalist, you know, we are earning our livings with our pen. And that's a wonderful thing. But it wasn't real, you know, the real me.
Right. So did you, as you were being a journalist and writing what was not a novel that was what you loved the most, were you still working on novels on your free time?
I was, thank goodness. I guess I'm like addicted, right? But never enough. You know, there's always, I suppose most everybody out there listening knows what it's like to always have an excuse not to do what you really want.
Yeah.
Right? And so there was always, you know, I'm spending all day writing. You know, I'm tired. I'll do it on the weekend. You know, we all know that. So, I was writing, starting and stopping novels, writing short stories, you know. Like I said, I just kept coming up with excuses, and I didn't spend enough time doing it.
Right. So when did you break out and become an actual, you always were a novelist since you were a child. That's such an amazing story. I mean, for goodness sakes, you were so young. You were just a little kid, and you were like, yeah, I'm a writer. I'm writing novels. When did you
thank you
write novels, let's say for real, in other words, you took this more seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it took the biggest kick in the butt I suppose you could get, which isn't a good one. So about 10 years ago, my parents died within 7 months of each other. You know, and yeah, like I said, I really would hope everybody else gets a different inspiration for their own lives. But, you know, it does make you really think, right? You know, yeah. I'm going to die someday. You know, what do I want to do with my life? You know, you know, there isn't always tomorrow. And so really it was like kind of, Fran, you know, when are you going to do this? So I did. At that point, I was earning my living writing. I was writing nonfiction books and doing freelance journalism. So I kind of turned down almost all the freelance, you know, and stopped writing the proposal for another nonfiction book, you know. And so it was, I had the freedom to not, like, quit my job per se, but I drastically cut back on my gig, as it were, my gig work. And just said, you're going to do this. And, you know, I had, since you asked me, you know, I'd mentioned I'd been starting and stopping novels for years. So luckily I had a few things, you know, in my laptop drawer, as it were. And I kind of, you know, was able to look through and decide which one do I do first?
And so how did you decide? Do you remember how you decided? Because that's a big decision when you have two or three books going in your head.
Yeah. Well, actually, the one, now I'll confess, the one I maybe should have done first and wish I couldn't find it. It was kind of, yeah, you know, your laptop dies and you get a new one, whatever. I searched desperately in paper, in all my papers. I still think it would be a good one. No, I'm not going to say what it's about. I might do it someday. But but instead, there was another one that was also really important to me because it was inspired by my family history, although it's a total novel. And so that was the first one I wrote called The Heirs. I'd started a few chapters, so it was kind of a little easier. You know, I had a few chapters, which I kept about 50% of them in the end. You know, so anyway, that was I just did that one.
Okay, awesome. So you spoke to me, we spoke earlier, and you mentioned about authenticity as a writer and as a novelist. Tell us a little bit why that's so important to you and why it's so important even as a novelist to bring this authenticity of yourself in.
Sure. Because you have to, you know, and I discovered this, you know, in the process of writing. And if you're going to write a complex character, a really fully realized character, you end up, you have to dig into yourself. You know, there are plenty of books, of course, that don't necessarily have complex characters. I mean, often mysteries and thrillers, for example, don't, although the best ones do. But if you're going to write a good novel, you've got to feel this. You've got to feel what the character is feeling. You've got to understand what motivates them. You've got to what they might be thinking in this circumstance or that circumstance. And how do you do it? You dig into yourself. You act it out sometimes. I do. I actually literally act out many scenes. You think about maybe you faced something similar in your past, or how would you feel about that?
Right.
You dig into your memories. Or other people, but mostly myself, and you look at, you know, it just really forced me to look at myself and how I react to things and how I don't want my character reacting the way I do because I don't like that in me, you know. I just don't see how you can do it without being honest.
I love that. And, you know, what happens with that, you just said something so important. I don't want my character acting like me. So it's like your character becomes better than you. That's how that happened to me. Because now that you've learned how not to act, your character has to learn it as well, right? So your character is just getting better and better. And you're like, this is great. That's just so much fun. And there's such an evolution there. So you're growing. Your character is growing. You're growing. And then the people who read it, of course, find a better way. So I find that also fascinating and so fun.
Thank you. You know, you bring up a good point, the people who are reading it. Hopefully, they will relate one or more things that one or more characters, you know, are doing in the book. Again, not that they have gone through exactly what, I mean, for example, I know we'll get more to more detail about my newest novel, I meant to tell
yes.
you, but it begins, I mean, I'm not giving away too much, in the prologue, the protagonist, Miranda, and her best friend, Romit, are arrested at the airport for kidnap. Well, I'm assuming most of my readers have never been arrested for kidnapping, although who knows, right? But they might, you know, they might relate to fear, for sure. I would think everybody who reads my book, you know, has gone through at some point something that terrified them. I mean, not that I wish this on them, but that's life. You know, loss. You know, if I don't do this, I'll lose my daughter. If I do this, I'll lose my daughter. You know, so the emotions, uncertainty, that's another thing. Am I doing the right thing? There's emotions that I'm hoping I'm digging into that my characters are going through, that my readers will relate to. And therefore, they will, I hope, say, oh, my God, yes, yes, that's exactly how it feels.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Very good. So what do you think is the main message you want to bring to the public?
I mean, from this book or in general?
Just in general. We're going to talk about the book after in more detail, but just
Sure. Okay. I mean, I guess there's a couple of messages, but one that I would say sort of in line with what we've been saying up until now is if you have a passion, you know, a dream, you know, try it. And I know that, okay, just like I said, I came up with a million excuses. My excuses were pretty weak and unjustifiable. You know, I was young. I wasn't married yet. I didn't have kids yet. I had good health, you know, but I realize there are people in circumstances who need to work two jobs to make ends meet, who have a lot of kids and no help. You know, I realize who have health problems. So I realize it's not always, you know, possible. And so I don't mean to be flip, but I am saying that, you know, if you see a way, try it. If you don't try it now, make a date with yourself in 5 years when your kids are in school or whatever, you know. Try it because you don't want to be looking at yourself 80 years from now and kicking yourself and saying, you know. I know a lot of people think maybe it hurts less to say, I could have done it if only I tried. They might think it hurts less to say that than to say, I tried and failed. Because it's pretty hard to say I tried and failed. And I guess I would say, well, if you try, you haven't failed, you know?
Right.
You didn't
Absolutely.
Fail at trying. Mm-hmm. And one other less touchy-feely message to go with this, though. And this is a much more practical and useful message that as part of my broader message. I would say this, too. Be true to yourself. Be honest with yourself. Go for it. But it doesn't mean you have to tell anybody else, you know, right? I'm not saying lie to other people, but you don't have you're trying this lifetime dream of yours, right? You know, so that may help make it a little easier. I didn't, you know, when I cut back on the freelancing and said I'm going to try to write a book that I've been saying I'm going to do since I was 4 years old, I didn't tell anybody, you know? I just, people would say, are you working on anything? Yeah, I've got some freelance articles. You know, people never really pushed me, you know. So I'm just, you know, if that helps, that's my real advice.
I love that because once you begin to tell somebody something, and it can be your own family, sometimes they have the worst feedback, there's so many, oh, you can't do that. Why do you think you can do that?
Oh.
So much discouragement, you know, comes. So that was the smartest thing that you did, Fran. I love that.
I think it was my most useful advice. Yeah, you raised a good point, the people who will belittle you. Now, having said that, you might be the kind of person who doesn't mind telling people, and there are certain advantages, practical advantages, like you never know, right? If I told more people, someone might have said to me, oh, my best friend is a literary agent. You know, so there was that you never know who may be able to help you aspect. Yeah. So, you know, do what's right for you. But all I'm saying is if that's what's holding you off, that people will make fun of you, then don't give them the chance. Don't tell them. Give yourself the chance. Go do it. But don't give them the chance. Don't tell them.
That's perfect. Give yourself a chance. I love that. Okay, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. But if you want to call and ask Fran a question or talk to her, the lines will be open. You just dial 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
For the mom out there feeling exhausted, overwhelmed, and hopeless, I see you. You are not alone. There is light at the end of your dark tunnel. How do I know? I was you. I'm Carissa, an author and educator. Raising a child with a disability nearly broke me, but I refused to give up. Now I help other moms reclaim their hope and start truly living. Find out how at bravelyintentionallife.com.
Hello, my name is Tamara Miller Davis, and I'd like to tell you about my realistic and romantic novel, Despite the Buzz. It is about technology's influence and other timely topics. There are digital wellness resources in the back, as well as book club and discussion questions. The story is a colorful and artful multimedia piece, which serves as commentary on media's influence. Check it out at DespiteTheBuzz.com.
Okay, we're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Fran Hawthorne, talking about her passion for making the world a better place, why authenticity is so important for a novelist, and her new novel, I Meant to Tell You. So before we talk about the book, Fran, I'd like for you to talk a little bit about your passion for making the world a better place and how that even comes out in your books.
Okay, sure. I know, again, it sort of sounds maybe a little, you know, touchy-feely, but this is really, again, something that's almost as deep in me as being a writer is. Most of us, even as kids, have a sense, right, of fairness, right, mm-hmm. justice. Little kids especially are famous for having this sense. And so, again, for as long as I can remember, pretty much I've had this sense that it's sort of not fair that I'm, you know, luckily a middle-class person. I use more than my share of the Earth's resources. I have a house. I use probably more electricity than I should. And, you know, I owe it to the planet, all the living creatures on the planet, the future, to give back some of what I take, to make the world better, you know. And it's just right. You know, and I think we all, there are people who are barely surviving, and of course don't include them, but those of us, and which is probably a lot of your listeners, you know, who have enough that we're middle class, you know, we can take some time out to listen to a show, we can do more for each other. And my definition, of course, of making the world better, it may be different from yours. It may be diametrically opposite from yours. I may regret urging you to make the world better, and you're going to do something I think makes it worse. But I still think that it's important to say this, that to encourage people to remember that we're all in this together. You know, we're on this planet together. And we should be out there doing things to help each other and save our planet. And it's not just environment, by the way. That's not the only way. I must be sounding like I'm talking about the environment, and it's not just that. So you asked in my novel, and I Meant to Tell You, and it is an important sub-theme in the novel because the protagonist, Miranda, she comes from a family that had a great sense of social activism. Her grandfather was a union organizer in New York. Her parents were leading activists against the Vietnam War in the 60s and other causes too, but especially that. Her father was out in California with the grape workers on strike. And so she feels this, again, this kind of This is a little bit like me, I suppose, feeling, I don't have a family background, but it is this feeling that she has to find her cause. And she's saying, oh, it's 2003, which is when the book begins. There are no big causes. You know, I lost my chance. And her fiance, Russ, though he comes from a very different background, he really shares that idealism with her. And that's kind of, in a way, in fact, one of the pivot points that sets off the problems in the plot is that he wants to get this job as a government prosecutor investigating business corruption, which they both think would be wonderful, you know, good job, again, making the world better. That is one of the pivots that leads to some of the plot problems. But anyway, so it's an important subscene in the book.
Yes, very good. So let's talk about it a little bit more. I know that you shared with me that one key message is the impact that secrets and lies can have, the repercussions that come from that. Why did you throw that in there? Why was that so important to you,
Fran? Well, a couple of reasons. It does make for a good plot. I mean, secrets, unraveling of secrets, it's great for a novelist. And also, though, again, it came back to, in a way, my life. Though, again, as I said, I've never been arrested for kidnapping. Or for that matter, I've never kidnapped and not been arrested. But
I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah, thank you. I just thought I would, yeah. You know, when I discovered that I wasn't being true and how I had to get back to that, to be what I was meant to be, which is a novelist, well, the same thing. What happens is Miranda doesn't tell Russ, her fiancé, something very crucial about herself, and he discovers anyway. And this looks like it's going to, understandably, destroy their engagement. It's like, well, you know, you can secrets have a way of coming out. And she lied to herself, thinking that this lie to him would never be discovered. So there's, you know, many different lies. And then what happens in the process, this one lie, in the process of her trying to justify herself and them, you know, maybe they get estranged. I won't tell what happens, but again, that happens very early in the book. You know, other secrets come out, secrets that no one even knew were secrets, secrets going back generations. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So I was thinking, you mentioned it just briefly, that settling for your life the way it is, even though you have this dream, right? We all have dreams. That's lying to ourselves. That's a form of lying as well, because we're lying to ourselves and saying, it's okay, I make X amount of money, or I have these friends, or I have this position, and I'm respected, and whatever. But deep down inside, we have this burning passion for something else. And sometimes, yours was very similar, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's nothing like what we're currently doing. So I think that's probably one of the most destructive kind of lying, is to lie to ourselves.
Oh, I think you're right. Well, yeah, I do think so in the end, because you can't run away from yourself. I mean, there can be pretty destructive lies you tell to other people, too. But, you know, you're probably right. I don't know, you know, who wants to compare. You know, my mother used to say about my grandmother, which not her mother, but my paternal grandmother, and she said this with tremendous admiration and a bit of awe, that toward the end of her life, my grandmother's life, she would say, God doesn't owe me anything. In other words, no regrets, you know? And my mother would say with awe, like I said, this is a woman who, my grandfather, not my grandmother, but her, so her husband lost his entire family in the Holocaust. And yet she's sitting there saying, you know, I'm at peace with the life I had. And boy, is a feeling that must be a beautiful feeling. Yes, I know I don't have it yet because there's still things I want to accomplish. But
right.
I think that fits in with what you were saying, you know, knowing that you went for your dream and tried, you know, knowing that, you know, you've been true, you know, to yourself.
Yes, absolutely. I think sometimes we can even go for our quote unquote dream that we've had since we were young and realize it's not, you know, it's not what we imagined it would be.
Yes. So yes, absolutely.
You know, that's another success because now we've discovered something.
Right. And, you know, and maybe you'll learn in that process that actually there's something much better for you. You tried
mm-hmm.
that and it's wrong for you, but, you know, and so that is a double good
yes.
good result, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you never know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's talk for a minute, Fran, about how to get a hold of you and your books. Especially your newest
oh,
novel.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, the best way, probably my website, which is HawthorneWriter.com. Sorry, I didn't make this easy. My last name and then the word writer, HawthorneWriter. Of course, you can find my books on, you know, Amazon, on BarnesandNoble.com, you know, on you know, IndieBound, you know, and a lot of other, you know, websites. Let's see, of course, I'm on Instagram and Twitter as Hawthorne Writer, LinkedIn by my name, you know, so there's a lot of ways. And yes, thank you. I would, of course, love for people to buy my book, but I also just love to hear from people, you know. You know, there's a contact, you know, an email contact on the website, and, you don't hear from people who read your books. It's always wonderful to hear from readers.
Oh, yeah, how exciting. So it's HawthorneWriter.com. You can link from it to it right here from Blog Talk. And I want to remind you that we're live right now, but there is a replay being created as we speak. And so if this interview sounds like something someone you know would like to hear and enjoy, please pass it on because it will be available indefinitely. Very good. So anything else you want to share with the listener about the book? I meant to tell you. I love the title, by the way. Mainly because I meant to tell you kind of has a connotation of I really didn't want to tell you, right?
Yeah, I avoided being true. I avoided telling you. I guess if there's a minute, I read the synopsis of it. I'll try to do this fast.
Absolutely.
When Miranda Isaac's fiancé, Russ Steinman, is being vetted for his dream job in the U.S. Attorney's Office, the couple joke about whether Miranda's parents' history as anti-war activists in the 60s might jeopardize Russ's security clearance. But as it turns out, the real threat emerges after Russ's future employer discovers that Miranda was arrested for felony kidnapping 7 years earlier, an arrest she'd never bothered to tell Russ about. In a frantic search to persuade Russ that she's not a criminal, Miranda uncovers secrets running through three different families, upending everything she thought she knew about herself, Russ, her best friend, and her own family.
Wow.
And thank you. And I guess I should mention that the book is won or finalist for, I think, 7 awards. So, you know,
yes, congratulations. That's amazing. Well, Fran, we're out of time for today, but thank you so much for being on the show and for sharing everything with us. And thank you for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Remember to pass this interview on and make sure you connect with us next time on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye for now.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.